the City of Angels is black and gold. You are listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. And now, Joseph Zacher.
Greetings, Los Angeles. Welcome to episode 337 of the Heart of LAFC podcast. That's right, we are back. Everyone is on board. We've got Bam, we've got Tony, we've got Araceli, and of course me, Joseph Zacher, doing our thing. Definitely, before we get into things, I do want to just bring up some of the rough news this week, some of the important things to say this week. Number one, we all want to pay our condolences to Olaf Suplicki. If you knew him as LAFC Olaf, he did pass away this week. We found out, and I gotta be honest, for me and several of us who went on the Dortmund trip, this is a rough week. No doubt about it. He was a special soul. Yeah, he gave us a real lesson in the game of football and in the world of supporters, as he was a leader in the supporter movement at Dortmund, also a avid member of the KISS Army, and ultimately a believer in what was LAFC before it really took hold, and gave guys like me and several others a lot of important advice in the lead up to what we're at today. And honestly, it's people like him that believed in us that got us to where we're at. And so, you know, send my love to his family, no doubt about it. But, you know, ultimately we're going to miss him big time. He did come out for MLS Cup. I got a chance to talk to him there. And he would always keep in contact with us, whether it was through Facebook or whatever. I'm going to miss him. That's for sure. As several of us are, of course. But yes, a legend definitely has passed for the LAFC faithful. Definitely pay your respects as you feel you can. Also, this was the week that we lost Mo. It's the anniversary of that too, so it's kind of a heavy week, not gonna lie. Yeah, so I just wanted to go to that first and just say we miss these guys. There's no doubt, and this episode is dedicated to them, of course. Bam, did you want to jump in and say anything?
Although I never got to meet him personally, all the stories I heard about him, everything I'd seen on social media and all the interactions I had him with there, it is a massive loss to not only us over here, but everyone in Germany, all the Dortmund supporters and all that too. So to his family and all that, condolences. He will be missed, and yeah, it's just been a brutal week.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Tony, do you want to jump in as well?
From what I've met from him, I met him a couple of times in the North End, and he seemed like a very cool guy. I didn't get to know him more personally than you, Joseph, of course. But again, it was for just our community, it was a big loss, you know. Showed you the ropes, showed 3252 the ropes in Dortmund. And just like, I understand it's like we are an LAFC pod, but of course he was a part of Dortmund for a very long, long time before us. So, yeah, they also lost someone there. So again, my condolences to all. And then of course with, it just with heavy heart as well, it just lands on the day of, Mo's passing as well.
Yeah. We got, you know, kind of the double whammy, you could say. In the worst kind of way. We go forward, right? And we know that these guys inspire us, and they will still inspire us. I think that's ultimately where it's going to be at. You hear the drums, you hear the noise, you hear the madness in the North End, and you got to know that their fingerprints are always going to be there, and that's what's important. So legacy, that's for certain. That's for certain. So as they would want, we're going to move forward with this thing, get into the football side of it, and do what we do as the LAFC faithful. So let's go from that. All right. Let's just get to some rumors, because we did see them. More happy rumors. I think Tony really wants to jump on this one, but a certain player at AC Milan has been, connected to the club, and apparently the rumors are he's actually said he wants to come here. Would you like to jump on that one, sir?
Not my team in Serie A, but that was the player I was hoping for. He is the most underrated number nine this generation, as with Suarez and everything, but he's still doing things in high levels. So to fill in the spot of that number nine situation, which you can see we are in desperate need of, he will fit in properly. Again, we do have a DP spot available. Perfect for him. There is a French connection there as well. So hopefully with all the rumors going and him talking about it, it is true.
Yeah, and having the discovery rights kind of helps too. So somebody else wants to take a shot at him, he's going to have to pay us. So it's nice. It sounds like mutual interest could be a good thing. Bam, are you excited about the possibility of Olivier Giroud in black and gold?
Oh, I am definitely. You know, he is who he is. He's got a lot of records that he proves what type of footballer he is. But yeah, like if he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, I hope he doesn't. That means he doesn't come to the MLS. Or if another team wants him, you know, give us 15, 20 million for the discovery rights. You know, if someone in the MLS really wants him other than us, then they've got to pay for the discovery rights.
There it is. So it's a win-win for LAFC, no matter what here. Let's hope it happens. Araceli, it would be pretty much a coup, right, for MLS to get Olivier Giroud to come this way?
Part of me is hoping he does come to MLS, especially LAFC, because as a Chelsea fan, I definitely enjoyed him when he was playing with Chelsea. And I don't know, just to see him come here would be really great. But I don't know. I'm curious about it too, because just kind of the past signings that we had with Gareth Bale and Chiellini, yes, they've proven effective for the squad, but I kind of want to see LAFC go after talent that will be with the squad for the long term, not just a 2-year contract, if we're assuming that's what the deal might be.
I don't know. If you want to be effective for 1 month and get an end of a Palacios cross in an MLS Cup final, I'm perfectly fine for a rent-a-player. I'll take it. Gets us a ring. We move on, right? I'm okay with that if it gets us the win. Competitively, to me, it's about the football at the end of the day. If this guy can help us and get us across the line, we need those guys right now. I mean, you just look at that whole combination of that goal. None of them are here. And we're not looking like we got anybody that's capable of it at the moment. So I'll take my chances. I think that's where my head's at right now.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't think there's any real argument against that. I'm just thinking kind of in the long-term sense, but that's just my hot take.
Oh, at the long-term sense is probably the Mueller conversation, right? Which, Araceli, we're going to talk about in a little bit, but that seems like a player that could be one for us for a while, right? If it all works itself out.
It could potentially be. And after seeing what I saw yesterday and even this morning from training, it could be leading that way a lot quicker than we anticipated.
Right, right. And at the same time, we see Ordaz suiting up for El Salvador and others doing, I mean, the youngsters. We do have a lot of youngsters, a lot of project players. Mm-hmm. I can think of a few guys that would really benefit greatly from a guy like Giroud in training, including Mueller. You know, we'll see what happens. I just know that we've got plenty of space, plenty of cap space as well, to play ball with this. So let's hope. We need a number nine, man, desperately, and maybe an actual playmaker after watching this game against Minnesota. Like maybe someone that can control some tempo here, just maybe. Yeah, it's time, man. I think this summer better be a spending month or spending summer, a big spending summer for us, because otherwise I think we're in trouble. I think you guys would agree with that. Bam's nodding his head. You want to jump in, man?
100%. Although we've got a lot of good young talent, we need that old head in there to not only just to be another voice on the pitch, but especially in training. Like you saw with Chiellini, yes, he played a lot of games for us, but what he was doing in the trainings, talking to the young defenders, teaching them better and all that, that's just experience that you can't get anywhere else. So having someone like Giroud come in that can do that with these young attackers would be amazing.
That's the key. That's the key. It's only going to help. It's only going to help. Is he going to stay healthy? Well, manage the minutes, make it happen. Let's hope we nab him. That's for sure. Bring someone else to deliver a few passes his way. So I think that's what we're going to do anyway. Let's hope for it. All right. With that being said, of course, the happy news also was with LAFC2 getting a huge win. Ersula, do you want to jump into that one right now before we get into the doldrums? Let's get the happy stuff first. You want to jump in on it?
Sure. Let's go ahead and get straight into it.
All right.
Well, as most of you already know, LAFC2 won their home opener against Minnesota United 2 in a stunning 4-1 win. It started off with Leonardo Flores doing what Flores does best, continuing his goal scoring from last season, where he took advantage of Alex Smear's error that Alec came out of the goal too far, trying to deny Forrest, giving him the perfect opportunity and basically a wide open net. So, and thankfully, you know, he finished in the 13th minute, gave LAFC to the lead. For most of the first half, it was just kind of a little bit of sparring, you know, trying to get the run of the game, and seeing of how the players, you know, gel well. Of course, you know, this being the first match and without any preseason training to go off of, this was kind of our very first look at the team as a whole. But thankfully, it all pays off come the second half with Luis Müller scoring a brace just 4 minutes apart from each other in the 56th minute and the 60th minute, giving LAFC2 that much-needed cushion, because shortly after, Minnesota was able to pull back a goal. But in the 73rd minute, Matt Evans scores a low drive to solidify the win for the team, giving them their first victory of the season, which I am very glad to announce considering what last season looked like. But this win, it just only elevated the team, especially this week, where they topped the power rankings and the Western Conference standings. They absolutely crushed it. Mueller won Player of the Match Week honors. And now, next up, LAFC2 will host Dynamo 2 this Sunday at 1:00 Pacific time. If you're unable to attend the match, it will be streamed on Apple TV. And some quick additional notes on it. Following the match as well, Mueller and Flores were both spotted in first team training yesterday and this morning. So there could be a potential call up in the near future. I don't know. It could just be a simple invite, or maybe Shirondolo is testing them out. Who knows? But to see them already getting some training time this early, I'm going to take that as a very good sign. Also, Luca Bambino got called up to the U19s this past weekend. So, again, looking at the talent that this squad has, there's a lot of potential with it.
I do like this mindset of the player features well on the weekend and then gets invited to the main team's training afterward. That's kind of cool. You know, if that may be something that we're looking at here, like, hey, you know what? If you've shown it, let's see what you do against the big boys. And if you look natural there, well, we know who to go to. Now, if Ordaz is playing for El Salvador, which he did today, they play this weekend as well, right? Am I wrong in that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's an opening right there where one of these kids could get to wear a shirt for the day, right? Or at least get a chance to be at the stadium, you know, because you're not sure who gets called up for the day and who's going to watch from the box, right? So we'll see what happens. But definitely there's an opening. There is an opening there. So we'll see what happens. But it is nice to have a Mueller that can score for us. It's a cool vibe. The jerseys look good on the field as well. I'm going to throw that out there too. And yeah, I mean, you watched it. And what was your thoughts about Mueller's play overall? I know we got the brace, but outside of that, what could you tell us about the way he was operating out there?
I will be very honest. I do need to go back and kind of review his play a bit closer because I was monitoring other games at the same time. But based on the goals and just kind of the glimpses I was able to get, he seemed to be very fast on the field. He got into the small spots and was able to create opportunities. Plus on the, I believe it was with Matt Evans, he did get the assist for that goal. So to see his productivity on the field was very refreshing.
It's one heck of a professional debut, that's for sure. That's for sure. Good on him. Good on Luis Mueller. We'll hope to see him move up soon, especially seeing how things are looking with the top side. So awesome. There we go. All right, let's jump right over to it. Now that we've got some positive news, I needed some good vibes before we talked about this game against Minnesota. Now we'll talk about Minnesota United against, well, what was LAFC in name? I'm not sure I could say the same in style of play because that was a weird vibe on that game. But let's get into it. All right, we head up to Minnesota. You obviously know the score. The lineups, same for us. No change there. No shock. At the same time, the other side, Minnesota, they play the 4-2-3-1. St. Clair was, of course, in goal. Boxall, Tapias is your center backs. Taylor and Paddleford were your outside backs. Dotson and Trapp were your defensive midfielders. Lode, of course, was the playmaker with Songbin and Clark as your outside mids. Of course, Pukki is the target man up front, and Pukki is the pest, let's be honest, this entire game. That was their setup. That's what they're looking at. Very physical. We learned that very quickly how they play and getting to it. I mean, that they have been, and we did give you guys the warning, one of the most informed teams in the league. They've looked legit in every game they've played in. There hasn't been one where they haven't looked good. They've looked good. Result or not, they've looked good. So no shock. We were in for a long day. We're hoping for better, but man, this one got funky quick. I'll throw it over to you, Tony. Highlight time, man. Are you ready for it?
What highlights?
Okay, low lights. We'll just call
them low lights. Yes. So first half, let's just go out and say it again. The recurring trend that's been plaguing us for years upon years, especially last year, missed opportunities by many players, especially our new highest paid player, Dini, with a wide open net. But in the 17th minute, off a cross into the box, Mario tries to clear the ball, heads it into the center of the box. It lands right in front of Robin Lode, and Lode just puts it in really easily. And that's how we start off the game. And it's just, we were kind of on the back foot the whole time. Like, it wasn't, there was no rhythm. There was more playing catch up throughout the whole game with Minnesota. Again, Minnesota has been doing decently for the last couple of games. And we just, ever since Seattle, just haven't found our footing after that.
Yeah. I mean, after giving up that goal, and of course, Mario, we've been praising him in the lead up to this, is how well he has been playing, how well he's been leading. That was a boneheaded move. I mean, I don't have any other way to say it, but you headed it right back into your danger area. I horrible situation. And they punished us, you know, we got burned. But after that, I can't think of many chances in this game, and especially in the first half, where I really felt we were threatening much of anything in this. It might be the most boring half I've ever seen from LAFC after that 16th minute, because I really did not feel any inspiration of that. This is going to come back. This is, we'll get it. At no point did I really feel like, oh, okay, now's the moment. No, it was just going through the motions, watching the game go back and forth. Got chippy. Okay, that's great. But at no point was anybody taking charge in this game, taking lead in this game, being the leader on this team. It was just going through the motions, passing the ball, cycling when you needed to. Okay, that's great. Very predictable. But no deadly pass. No chance taking, I would say. it was very much looking like they were going through the motions. Am I wrong in that, ma'am?
100%. That's what it felt like. Like, yes, we copped an early goal. Then when it's like a chippy, I'm like, yes, this is going to turn us around. You know, we're going to get chippy into the face. I even tweeted out going, I did not expect this game to finish 11-11.
No.
Like, looking at the five earlier games that all had red cards, and then the last game of the night had a red card too. I can't remember the last time where 6 of the 12 Saturday games end up with a red card. So I thought this is going to keep going. You know, they're going to keep pulling these cards. But no, it just, we got chippy and then we got scared.
That's it. It just a little bit intimidated. And again, lack of passion, man. I hate to say it. I'm not that kind of guy, but it felt like a practice game at times. Like, I don't know. There's just no risk taking. That it killed me on that one. Tony, your thoughts? First half?
Just going through the motions. It was just, we didn't show up is the best way to say it. Like, this was we don't have must-win games, but this was a must-win game after the performance that we did against Kansas City. You know, we can say the snow game, as well, I'll just call it for a quick thing, against Real Salt Lake. Like, again, that was a fluke. It happens, whatever, we move on, we push forward. But now it's just getting to the point where I felt that was a must-win game just to turn it around, just because of, like, the momentum after that, because it's just, I don't know what happened after the snow game, because it's just, we haven't been ourselves. Like, the way we opened up the season to now is not the same team.
It's off. There definitely was something off. And I think a lot of that also was pressure on Bwanga now that he has to lead this team, because he's the guy I look to lead this thing. You get that paycheck. That's what happens. And he's reminding me of that, the Bwanga we got that couldn't get it across the line and then finally broke through against Portland, right? Remember that? Kind of getting those vibes. It's kind of overhashing it a lot. Holding the ball a little longer than he normally does. Just, it's not quite there. It's rough. Second half, of course, didn't get any better. Some back and forth, but again, I can't think of any moment where it was like, okay, here it is, we found ourselves, this is where it's going to be. And you know, these games, you're like, oh, that moment where we could have had it. I can't think of that moment where we could have had it. Am I wrong in that, Bam, as well? Like, second half too, same thing.
Yeah, 100%. Nothing in it. I don't know what it is, but whatever bad juju we've done, whichever ladder we've walked under, how many black cats we've ran over, we just can't score. It's like the snow game froze our scoring. That's it. Our goals are stuck in the snow. You know, we haven't defrosted them. We need to thaw them out. Thought maybe getting back to sunny California might do that, but it hasn't. And I don't know what we can do.
Yeah, and we're not dictating the play. That's for sure. I know we had more possession in this game, but sideways passing, right? There's nothing. It was cycling. You know, that's cool. All right. Maintaining possession, but there was no deadly run, no give and go, no crazy pass to get it dangerous. No dangerous, not putting it in dangerous areas. It just wasn't there. Wasn't there on the day. And of course, they kind of put us out of our misery in the 88th minute, right, Tony?
Yeah, in the 88th minute, it was like a bonehead defensive play, just kind of leaving the player marked, but marked is the best way, like very lazy marking. And he just gets it past Lloris, and just it was just game over. At that point, it was just call it, move on, and we have to focus on the next game. And what sucks about this the most is I have to bring him up as well. Oliveira had a nice opportunity chance, and he just passed it to the keeper. Bwanga had an opportunity, didn't do anything. Campos is getting burned right now. I think teams have kind of figured him out. Luckily, we won't have him next game. We'll explain why when we break down the game against Nashville. But again, we have to right the ship now against Nashville moving forward, because we have this game, Colorado, and then the Derby. So if we are still in this possession of this trend going into that, I'm very fearful what's going to happen.
No, I'm not fearful. Something's got to give, right? Something has to happen here. It's got to change, or we already know what's going to happen. I'm not fearful of it. I know what's going to happen. You play like this against those guys, they're not the same team they were last year. I know it's looking way ahead, but sorry, they're way more competitive now. It's legit. It's us right now. We got to worry about us. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Minnesota. I got to be honest. Like, we tend to do that as LAFC fans, as we kind of underwrite the performance of other sides. We do it a lot. It's just us, man. We're terrible. Minnesota was good. Don't put that away. You know, they played their game that they've played all season so far. This is what they do. They frustrate the hell out of you. They're pests. Look at what Pukki does. This is what they do. And Longwane scoring late, I'm pretty sure, Ursula, you can agree. When you saw Longwane go in the game, you're kind of like, well, yeah, here comes the second one. Because guess what? That's what he's done this year. He comes in, super sub, and he kills teams off. He's done it. He's found his way back. They did it against Columbus. This is what they do. Typical play from this side this season. Right, Ursula?
No, absolutely right. And I agree with all three of you that looking at the game, it was just lack of motivation. There was definitely something missing. And normally I'd be the one to kind of have the hot take of, oh, well, I'd rather have them lose now than in September when it really matters. But considering the last couple of games, you do have to start looking at it differently of, okay, what exactly is going on? Where is this lack of motivation coming from? Is there issues within the team? Is the new players not gelling well? Is there still some animosity because of what's happening with Vela? There's all different types of factors, but regardless, at the end of the day, the team needs to simply figure it out. Or else they're going to be in big trouble.
The other thing we might have to think about is our approach to the game itself. You know, after a while, people figure you out. Figure out what you do, how you approach it. There was a time where we were an ultra-possession team where we would just pummel you to death. Chance it. We waste a bunch, but that's what we do. And then we converted to this counter-attacking side that goes, well, we'll get you in the transition. That's fine. But we've always had the ability to have both speeds and just pick and choose when we want to change speeds. I don't see any change of speed in this side. It's the same thing over and over. And guess what? It's been figured out. So something new, something's got to give. I think tactically, manpower wise, something's got to give because it's just not looking right. That's for sure. Anything else you want to add there, Bam?
Nope, like 100%. Everyone's nailed it. You know, as you said, you've got to give them props. They've done well. They're doing what they've got to do. I can see them going deep, especially if they keep playing the way they're playing. They don't get struck down with injuries. But, yeah, Minnesota are a team to keep an eye out in to see how they go for the rest of the season because I think they're going to do quite well.
Yeah, they look legit. And, you know, they've got a new manager now. This was his first win in charge, if you can believe that. They've got a different look to the way they're approaching this game, and that's fine. They've brought in players that will get them where they need to go, and some of their injured players are now coming back. We saw one feature late for them, so they're only getting better at this point. So that's one team we're going to chase. We already know we're chasing them. And you got to be better than that if you're going to do anything in this league. Real talk. All right, so that's how the game went. We lost 2-0. And we got to lick our wounds and move on. I see you got about 15 comments. I think we're going to go to you guys right now. Join the conversation if you can. We are definitely going to throw this up to you before we get into community news. All right, first one on, it's Jibble. Says yo to everybody. Burke is on as well. Good seeing you here, Burke. Dave Gomez checking in. Love it. I think he says Olivera, please. Yeah, Olivera had a rough one. I ain't gonna lie. Wasteful. Jose Bernal is on here. Says, "Hola, brothers from the BA family. See you, brother." Falcon in the mix says, "What's good, fam?" Like it, like it. LOL Man Trash Can in the mix too. Dave Gomez says, "We must end the scoring drought this weekend, and he will put a brace, I predict. I hope and I pray. I hope and pray." This is the breakout. Nice thing is when we do play at home, we do play a lot better at home. It won't be 29 degrees or whatever the weather was. I'm not going to blame the weather, but yeah, being at home is much nicer. That's for sure. But yeah, there's a lot going on. That's for sure. Jose Bernal says, "Why don't they pass the ball? Pass effectively. Pass into dangerous areas. How about run off the ball? That would be nice." Jose Bernal says, "Why they are selfish and play? Why they are about to score? They need to pass the ball. Looks like they don't want to make the pass." Right, overdoing it a bit as an individual. We saw a lot of that. Where okay, they close in on you. Now what are you going to do? And you got predictable with it. The easiest thing in the world to defend is this one-on-one stuff because it never really is one-on-one. Trailer always comes in and takes care of business and cleans up the mess. That's just how the game's played. Jose Bernal says, "And finish the play. Got a teammate. Better positioning." Yeah, got to do it. David Day says, "Carlos Vela." Well, I will say this. Yes, it'd be nice to have his leadership right now. That is something that is definitely missing at the moment. Would he affect a lot on the field right now after spending so much time off? I'm not so sure. But it can't get any worse, right? I think that's where we're at. It's just, do you want to overspend for a player in this moment where you're feeling kind of like, I don't know about this side, right? Questioning things on a scoring drought. It's not a forever drought. It's a 3-game drought, something we're not that used to. But still, I get the Vela thing right now. I do. Leadership would be nice. Charlie Candle. He says, "Thumbs up in the chat if you want Vela back," I think is what he's going for. So definitely do that, guys, if you'd like. I'm thumb sideways. I mean, yeah, we want him back, but price is, if it's a DP, I don't know about that. So, yeah, exactly. DP price, no. Other funky ways to get the money across the line? Oh, yeah, 2 thumbs up, man. It's just you don't want to kill your chances in the summer either. All right. Otherwise, you know, the best we could possibly do is what we did last year, right? If you just bring Vel in, the best you're going to do is what you did last year. As far as I'm concerned, it's not enough, right? Something more has to be here. Something has to give. You need more. Spend the money, LAFC. $1 billion club. It's time to spend some money. Let's go. And there's that, right? So there are the comments right now from everybody. Thank you all. I know there's going to be a few more popping. Definitely do it. We're going to catch you guys towards the end of the episode as well. Get your thoughts on the next match this weekend, because I know I'm going to see a lot of you at the game. All right, let's look for it. We've got community news. Tony, you have the floor, sir.
So with community club and community news, of course, 3252 membership is still up and running. So if you haven't signed up, this is the perfect opportunity time. Remember, there is limited, not slots or spots, but limited availability for this of always. Once it's closed, it's closed. It also helps supporter groups with their numbers. And also when we have to go to away days, tickets for away days, it's a big helpful as well to get help to know that you're 3250 members, so we can get you the ticket that we need, as well as, of course, the new scarf, pin, and some other goodies depending on the different tiers. Of course, the 2024 art show with Black Army, AIM, and 3252 is on June 30th. As I'll go through the spiel once more again, showcase how you feel your culture is represented in the city of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a melting pot of culture, whether or not you were born and raised here, the city makes you feel like you belong. Painting, sculptures, photography, etc., all mediums welcome and accepted. Deadline submission is June 23rd. And to reach out for submissions or anything, it will be at bagivesback@gmail.com. And as well as, so there's a couple things with the game. Of course, the new game, being at home, tailgates are going to be a must. So go hang out with most of all the supporter groups, see if you can fit in or just get involved with any of them. But There are a couple things that are happening that day. One is Rock Your Socks for World Down Syndrome Day, which is today. So wear your crazy socks. I had a couple ones on for today. But we're also going to be wearing them during the game. So if you have a couple crazy socks, just wear them during the game. Probably cuff up my pants for the game so we can show them off and stuff like that. So just support, you know, Down Syndrome, because it's close to BA's heart, but also a lot of people in the world as well is affected by this. As well as during the tailgate, Spring Extravaganza. Cuervos always put this out every year before Easter, sometimes during the Easter weekend. Easter weekend, of course, is next week, but they are going to do the Easter Bunny will be there, an egg hunt, and special prizes, which, of course, is hosted by the Cuervos. And the last thing on the agenda, is D9U is doing a drive for the Unite for Women, inviting our 3252 and LAC community in honor of Women's History Month. They're asking for a feminine product drive to benefit East Los Angeles Women's Centers. What they're looking for are pads, tampons, panty liners, toothbrushes, menstruation cups, sanitary wipes, deodorant, and period underwear. So if you can reach out, D9U has more information on their link, and any of these donations will be very appreciated, because of course there are some women who can't afford these or can't get a hold of most of these items. And the last one is for AIM. This coming Wednesday, March 27th, Loteria night from 5:30 to 8:30 at 4011 City Terrence Drive, Los Angeles, California. If you have to RSVP at info@orgala.wine. So it's a benefit for AIM and just to hang out. So if you can do that on Wednesday, play some Loteria, it'll be fun. And that is all for community news.
Busy, busy time for the faithful. That is for certain. Thank you, Tony. It's a long list of things. What we know for certain, come on out. Support the cause. If you've got artwork that you're thinking about submitting, don't hesitate. Do not hesitate. It will go to a good place. Athletes in the Making is amazing, and what they do for this community, it's only going to go to a good place. That's for sure. And also, the art show looks really cool. The presentation of the art, it's properly done. That's for certain. So please make your donations. You heard about the list of donations needed. Let's go for it, guys. Support the cause. Support the community. All right. So we are going to move on forward. Thank you, Araceli, for the LAFC team news. Normally we'd do this right now, but man, we needed some bright, bright, hopeful stuff. I know you can't stay on for the whole night. So as we transition out from here, it might be a good time for you. Thank you once again. I know you got a lot of reports to write, and it's going to be crazy. So we're going to definitely let you escape right now, okay?
I definitely need to catch up on some sleep as well as work, because as you guys know, it's been a very long week in the world of Next Pro, let alone MLS. So as much as I want to stay on here and talk about Nashville, I'm going to have to dip out early. I'll definitely catch you guys next week.
You got it. Thank you, Araceli. Amazing as always.
Hey. Yeah.
There she goes. Again, she's got a lot on her plate. That's for sure. Again, Open Cup stuff she's got to cover tonight. MLS 2 is MLS Next is flying. So all good. And of course, she catches us from Kansas City, or just outside Kansas City, I'll say. So it's a late night. That's for sure. All right, let's move it on forward. Before we get into the match against Nashville, we do, of course, have our tradition of the Black and Gold Vinyl Club Minute. This one's going to take a different vibe, though. We've never featured this band before, amazingly enough. They're going on thinking all the way back. I don't think we've ever featured them, which is pretty amazing. I know Tony's looking back. You haven't. But basically, we wanted to, again, dedicate this episode to Olaf. And one of those things that we want to do is talk about, of course, his love for KISS. He was a member of the KISS Army, a high member in the KISS Army in Germany. traveled all over to see these guys. So we wanted to mention a couple albums that we know he would love. And so that is our way this episode for the Black and Gold Vinyl Club Minute. One album that I really like, of course, is Destroyer from 1976. It's got Detroit Rock City on it, which is freaking awesome. And then Dynasty, 1979. They made a lot of albums, guys. It was kind of like two per year with Kiss back then. But Dynasty came up to me as a good one as well, especially the name Dynasty. And the song I Was Made for Loving You is on there. So yep. Talking about hits. Yep. Which is freaking amazing. So those were the two albums that kind of featured for me. I know these guys might have a couple others. You guys want to throw some out there too? Because man, there's so many good albums from Kiss.
you can't really throw any more out there. Like, you know, every album has a good song on there that we all know. So you can't say this album's better than this album. So it's just in general.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I was trying to pick out, you know, like album one that really stood out at all the hits. No, it was like two or three in each album. So it's like, hey, I like these two though a lot. So yeah. And we know all Offwood too. So yeah. All love, brother. Rest in peace, man. We'll definitely listen to some Kiss this week, that's for sure. And that is our Vinyl Club Minute. Yes, Tony?
I was gonna say, or if you can afford it, and whenever they do it, they are doing a AI kind of holographic version of their concert sooner or later, where they're making them more theatrical, but it fits Kiss's theme of they're about the music, but they're about the theatrics. Let's be honest.
It's the pyro, man. It's the show, right? It's the glam. It's never just about the music. I mean, that's not Kiss, man. It's definitely the feature, the presentation, more than anything else. I mean, that's what they're known for. Right. No doubt. So for them being, you know, throwing this AI thing out there and doing a whole different look, I might throw some people off, but dude, that sounds typical Kiss to me. No shock there. That's for sure. We'll see what they do with this thing. I bet you it turns out pretty good. That's for sure. So again, love you, Olaf. We miss you. And we will move on to the match itself. Here we go. All right. Preview. LAC versus Nashville. Yes, a chance to correct ourselves, to find ourselves at home against a team that's had a very, very busy schedule in the lead up, playing both league matches and CONCACAF Champions League. You remember that, guys, thing we're not playing in this year. Yeah, that one. Didn't do so well in that one, of course, and they ran into the buzzsaw that is Miami when Miami is healthy. And you know, drew at home but lost on the road to Inter. And then credit to Nashville, came back only a few days after losing, 3 days after losing to Inter, got a big win against Charlotte at home with a modified lineup because, again, guys get tired. And so they're coming off of a big win. They've got momentum from this. You would think they wouldn't because of Inter, but no. You know, they got an important win, a character win, and now they come to our house looking at it at a team that's honestly licking its wounds right now. Well, they're not. Yeah, it sucks getting knocked out of the Champions League, but they're not done. They're not close to done. They're moving forward. So this is what we got to deal with. Now, that Nashville match, I did get to see a bit of it. Bam. Your thoughts on that one, and what do you expect to see from these guys?
I expect to see them do what they did last game against Charlotte. You know, they came out firing, were 2-0 up quite within the 40 minutes. Charlotte came back and scored in injury time in the first half, and Charlotte were peppering them, but Nashville just stood tight. Nashville had a point to prove that we're not going to let through easy goals like they did with into Miami, but for me, it's going to be a quite difficult game. Like, they are missing two players through injury. They're obviously missing Randall Leal, who's been out all season from a hip injury he got last year. And they are missing Walker Zimmerman at the moment. You know, that is a massive loss for them, but they're showing that although it was a massive loss, we can still grind out and we can still get that defensive win.
Yeah, I mean, they held on for dear life in this game. They got the goals they needed. The Surridge goal, man, great header. Really atrocious defending, gotta be honest. But at the end of it, Nashville did run out of gas in this game. There's no question that the legs caught up with them for playing the midweek match, and they had to hold on for dear life to get past Charlotte. Charlotte's not had a great year so far, but they're not like they're winless. They do have a win this year. But featuring the players that they had, I mean, Mukhtar was looking like Mukhtar, right? I mean, he's looking himself again under the circumstances. Surridge looks real. Boyd looks legit. I look at this side. Willis is who he is. I expect him to be solid against us. The character players are there, you know. Again, missing some feature guys, but they've got grinders. That's for sure. It's not going to be easy a game for us. A very hard game is what I'm expecting, and nothing guaranteed. That's for sure. How do they line up? Well, the last two matches look pretty much the same, right? 4-2-3-1. I'll feature more of the lineup against Miami because I think that's what it's going to look like more anyway. They had Willis in goal, McNaughton and Lovitz as their center backs, Moore and Washington as their outside backs. Godoy and Davis played as their defensive midfielders, while Mukhtar, of course, was the creator in the central midfield. Mule and Schaffelberg were your outside midfielders, and of course, Boyd was up top in this game. Again, will Boyd shift and have Surridge stay up top this time? We shall see. That is an option that they have. If you're going to see something switch, it would be those guys coming in, and then Schaffelberg would not. But we'll see. We'll see. They have options. I look to you again, Bam. You know, looking at the two possible lineups, what do you think they're going to go with?
That's where it gets tough. Like, yes, I had that the normal 4-2-3-1 against Miami, but they're, I guess Charlotte, they're more of a 4-4-2, and I do expect that to be more of a of what they'll do, because that was a winning recipe. So I don't see them changing that so this quick. So I do expect them to go more of the lineup against Charlotte than they do with us.
In that case, then you're looking at Surridge and Mukhtar to drop, at least push high, basically. Yeah. And then Boyd would drop in outside midfielder, right? Pretty much where it's going to play. That is hilarious. But, yeah, I could see that happening. Again, these guys shift. They have the ability to. So it's not going to be easy for us. This is no guarantees for LAFC. As good as we could possibly play, this team is one of those teams that could hurt us. That's for sure. We gotta get it together before this game happens. That is for sure. Tony, your thoughts on this thing coming up? Oh yes, Bam.
Yeah. No, that though. You gotta look at it too. Is to Nashville playing against us is a cup final to them. A lot of teams always come against us. This is the game that they've really got to step up for. Yes, they're in the East, but they have played us quite a lot, and they do know how dangerous we are, so they've got to really step up for this game.
Yeah, simple as that. And again, the only loss we're talking about was a CONCACAF Champions Cup match, right? I mean, that was, if you're looking at recent history, so, you know, they've got what results against, well, draws mostly, right? They did draw our neighbors, right, in their house. They drew Colorado on the road. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's going to be tough. I think the bigger story is going to be, what are we going to do? This time it is really about us. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? What's the lineup going to look like? We know for sure. And I go to you, Tony, who's out for this game?
We know for a fact that Campos is not playing for us for the game. He is going, I believe, to the under 23 side. So he is out for that, and you already know the slot, who's going to slot in of the switching of players. So,
Nordas featuring.
Yes, Nordas. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is why I believe also Mueller is maybe being called up because of that.
No, maybe about
Yeah, it'll be tough. I mean, there's other guys that haven't been dressing too that could just get dressed for this one, but. Mm-hmm. The tough thing is what's it going to look like? So back line, no shock. I don't think it's going to be a big shock here, except, Murillo, Long, your center backs. Mm-hmm. Why would it be any different? Left back, right back is the story, of course. Campos being out, Hollingshead is going to have to shift to his old position at left back. I don't. Are you guys agreeing with that one?
Yeah.
We're going to see. All right. And of course, who goes to right back then?
Palencia.
Yeah. No shock. Right. What else are they going to do? I don't see it any other way. Midfield and, of course, forward situation. Push has to shove here, man. Something's got to be different this week. I can't. Oh, man. Is it really going to be the same thing? I'm going to be really surprised. I honestly did think when Bogu shifted back into midfield in the game against Minnesota, there was a little bit better. At least it looked a little bit better to me when he dropped a bit, you know, low and let the kid come in. Which I'll throw it to you, Bam, first. Who are your three in the midfield for this game?
For me, three in the midfield, I'm going to do something strange. Elie, Tillman, Bogut.
I'm with you on this. I'm with you on this.
I think a twist is going to start on the bench.
Yeah, I have a feeling, too. This wasn't a great game from this last game. And if you're looking at guys who are actually flowing and producing, and he wasn't one of them. He wasn't, and there's kind of a confusion going on right now there. That's what I'm seeing too. And I think if you're looking to gel, who's been together longer, right? I think we need Bogus back in the midfield. He just does so much. And that's the one guy, if I'm going to feature somebody who really featured well against Minnesota, it was Bogus. He was everywhere, trying to do everything. He was actually playing out of position a lot because he was making up for other players not getting the job done. So put him back where he's natural. Get the best out of him. Where's the best? In the midfield. I'm with you. Tony, your thoughts on the midfield? What are you looking at for this?
Honestly, I think we run it back. Like, I know the Atuesta is, like, not flowing with them, but it's just, I feel like they have to figure it out, and it's one of those things that's, like, if anything, I take out Tillman just because of like the way Elie plays a little bit is like similar to what Tillman plays. So just sub him out for Bogus, who has a little bit faster, and Elie doesn't have to move as much, but run as much as he needs to sometimes.
Well, I mean, if you do that, then Atuesta and Elie can drop lower and you set up Bogus higher, right? As a guy to really feature as a conduit for your offense. And then you feature to another three. So that makes a good sense too. It could be an option. We'll see on this one. It's again, if we look exactly the same as last game, we can't, but at least in the midfield situation, we'll be a little surprised, which brings us up top. This is going to be funny too. We know Bwanga is going to start. There's no question Bwanga's out there. The other two though, I think it's highly debatable. And I'll go to you, Tony, first. Who's up front with Bwanga this game?
If Martinez is available to play and is healthy, because I know that was a concern going into the last game, I think Martinez starts over Oliveira. Hot take.
Or does.
I know, that's what I say. Hot take. Maybe Mueller starts.
That would be a crazy story if that happened.
I know, almost. But just throwing a hot take out there, because it's like we have to figure out something in the front line, because no one's scoring since what, the first game of the season?
Yeah, I'll throw out a name. What the heck happened to Angel? We're in a 3-game scoreless drought. You have this young kid who's promising.
He was questionable last game.
He should be back this game, right?
Hopefully he was questionable with a abductor. So that's where I'm going to say tomorrow is when Ordaz plays against Argentina.
Okay. Wow.
Playing in Philadelphia. I can see the quick trip down. He will start. And then Mueller will come on at halftime.
Ooh, okay. Maybe. I mean, Bwanga did something crazier to get back in the lineup. Y'all remember that last year. So we've seen some wild stuff. Now, I've had a flight back from Philadelphia. I didn't feel so hot afterward. They're all laughing at me because they know what happened there. Yeah, it's not that long of a flight. I got to be honest. It ain't that bad. It's going to be hard. I do want to see the kids start, though, this game. Right? Not be the super sub, but actually get to start this game and develop with the lineup as it forms up. Right? Not just get running thrown into the mix. Oliveira, I mean, it wasn't a great game, man, the last time. But under the circumstances, I don't see him not playing in this game. I think he starts again, too. I do. I think it's the midfield that I think we'll get more out of if we move Bogus back. That's where I see it. I think that's where we're at. It's a who's going to go with. Who comes in later? I could see Mueller coming in later. That's the guy that can come in as your super sub. Because it's kind of a respect thing, right? The guys that have been there, you know, training and putting in the work.
Do a five in the mid, Bogus loan up front. But have a more of a 4-2-3-1 where you got Tillman, Ilya as defensive mids, then have the attacking mids of Martinez, Atuesta, and Bogus.
I mean, it would be a dream, but does this team ever go out of this 4-3-3? The most we've ever done is a 5-3-2. What a I've never seen us overload a midfield ever when we get overloaded all the time, and it drives me up a wall. Like, you can't play that? Like, you won't play that? But it's weird to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we're so set that we can't even do anything with the lineup. It has to always be the same lineup. It throws me. And if it's been like that since season one, right, it's a philosophy thing. But when you hit a three-game scoreless streak, you kind of have to go like, hey, man, shake it up, right? Mm-hmm. How do you solve these things? Get a little weird. I am with you. I mean, having Bogus as your playmaker in that setup, maybe Atuesta and Ilya staying kind of home, controlling things, that might not be bad. Bwanga with a couple extra yards out on the left.
No. See, I'll put Bwanga as a lone striker,
as the center. I mean, you could. He's the money man, right? So, we could see that. Will we see that? I'm not betting on it. I'm not holding my breath. I don't see him getting funky with it, but that would be cool if they did. If they did something like that, I would be actually very impressed. Like, oh, hey, look, they're really trying to like shake things up. And that's cool. I'm good. Take a risk. Do something. Tony? He's in there shaking his head like, hell no. What do you think, man?
Just do something at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, shake it up.
What do we have to lose?
The fourth really. In a row.
Yeah, fourth in a row right now. It's just
four,
like,
four games, no goals. We're scoring this week, guys. I'll say that right now. We're not getting shut out in this game. Hell no. We're going to get it.
Are
they going to score more than us? I can't say.
I was catching up with a bit of the defenders the other day, and on their episode, they had Scarfa saying it's been like 330-something minutes that we haven't scored a goal.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. It's brutal. Are you going to keep just pounding away at the same thing over and over and hoping for a different result? It's getting that vibe, man. I'm with you. It's getting that vibe. I know. I like to see something crazy out there. I do. Let's solve some problems. Not just hope it works itself out. Perform better. Well, yeah, perform better. But how about beat the other guy in their tactics? Right? Like, outsmart them. just don't out-pummel them and outsmart them for something. Work around. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. You gotta see it. Let's see what our faithful thing. There's about five comments I see on there. Let's see where they're at on this thing. All right, let's see who we got. Who we got? David did ask DP Veller, no DP till summer. I just say no DP. Nah, yeah, we gotta move forward. Wolf. Good evening, fam. Sorry to be back at BMO. I'm with you, man. We need to get back to home cooking. That helps too. That definitely helps. Dave Gomez says, I think Bogosh is better in mid as well. Dude, he all season so far, he's really been the consistent performer for us. Realistically, it's the one guy I can feature in every match, even in a crappy snow game. Putting in the work, man. Doing the grinder stuff as well as the finesse stuff, but putting in the work and not, you know, being an asset the entire time he's out there. He has been that. So I'm with you, man. I'm with him in the midfield too. I dig it. I see it. Don't be surprised if it happens. All right. Those are the comments that I see. Thank you guys for putting that out there. I know it's been a busy night for a lot of you guys. Thank you all again for contributing every week. Keep it up, guys. We'll be back next week. You know how that's going to work. All right. So I'll go to you, Tony. Thoughts? What do you need to see for us to win this game this weekend?
Finish our opportunities. Clear, simple. That's all. Like, we have everything else that's doing decently well. Connect passes is another one, but when the opportunity presents itself, just put it in the back of the net and finish the opportunities. That's it.
There you go. Same to you, Bam. You're thinking the same thing. It's the finishing side, or just shake it off?
Well, we're shake it off and score more goals than they do.
Object of the game last time we checked. Yeah, I'm open to interpretation on this thing. I want to see something different. I do want to see Bogos in the midfield too, guys. So there it is. And let the kid cook up front, man. Let's see what he can do with a full 90. 60 if it gets funky. But hey, get in there and go from the start. Right? What could go wrong? So there we are. All right. So you know what that means, guys? We are calling it. It's the final thought time. So I will throw this to Tony first. Your final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts is, just have fun this weekend. It's going to be a rainy day. So, it's supposed to rain midday. So be wary of that. It should clear out by the time, by game day standards. So we could have a wet pitch. Drink responsibly. Responsible. Yeah, words are hard. Just make sure you look out for each other when you're out there. You know what I mean? You can never know what might happen. Just be careful out there. And of course, when I started off, or always transition when Bam hasn't spoke, do we always say, Bam?
Remember, it's okay to be okay. Look out for your mates. Phone call can save a life, you know, especially with what's happened this week where we're all remembering Mo or remembering Olaf and all that kind of stuff. Although it may not hit you as hard as other people around you, reach out to them, talk about them, keep their legacy going, talk about their life. If you do get a chance, take a mate to a football game that you haven't seen for a while. Take them out for a coffee in the morning. Take him out for a beer. Go watch some of the March Madness. Go watch the F1s this weekend, which is in Melbourne. Do what you can. For me, for tonight, I'm going to try and head out to a local soccer match. It's the kickoff of the Victorian State League here for me. So I'm going to try and get to either a fifth or fourth division match, so which would be like the seventh or eighth tier here in Victoria. Reach out to your mates. Remember, it's okay not to be okay. Phone calls can save a life. Get to the game and pray like I'll be doing, and I know a lot of people in the 30-52 will be doing, to see Tony with that shirt on, because when that happens, you know we're winning.
In the rain? What? Wow. Dig it. I'm with you. Tony is losing his shirt, which means the other team needs to do their job. There it is. All right. Love it, man. Yeah, I'm with Bam. Check in with each other, right? Keep the network up. Talk, communicate. It's important. This is also a holiday weekend for a lot of us, right? I mean, there's things coming up, so check in with your family, right? Check in with your friends. Make sure everybody's on the right side of things. And it never hurts to talk. It never hurts to talk. So I'm with you on that. And again, dedicate this to our brothers that we've lost. That's for sure. Love you, Olaf. Love you, Mo. Miss you guys. And beyond grateful for all that you two have done for me and many of us, always being there. So I will say this, and the kind of aspiration we got from Olaf all the way back then, as the LASC faith plumber, he would tell us multiple times, like, be yourselves, do you. Don't try to be like another group. Don't try to be like other clubs. Just do you. Be comfortable in what you do. Be the North End. You've got the capabilities to be bigger than anything else that's ever been in terms of the culture in this country. Just keep pushing. And that's what we got to do this weekend. Keep on pushing. Let's get that win. Let's sing our hearts out. And hopefully we'll be celebrating after the 90 minutes. And I'll leave it at that. Final word, Tony.
Stay golden, Los Angeles.
Bam.
Stay golden.
And for me to all of you, stay golden, Los Angeles.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.